Welcome to the second session. And we are so excited about what the Lord is doing. And especially in this time, you know, we have a fatherless generation. And many people, when we talk about God, you know, these days, some people just want to preach the gospel. But you have to tell people who God is, because a lot of people have got a wrong perception of that God. And so in the first session, we asked this question, how big is our God? We're going to go through this 12 sessions together, and I'm just going to quickly run through the topics we'll be covering. The first one is, how big is our God? Tonight or today, we're going to talk about God's heart revealed through Jesus to us. The third thing is God's revealed heart to you and me, what every child needs from their dad. Then we're going to look personally, just your makeup of your family, the father wound, what is that? Letting go of your past, dealing with your past, knowing your true identity in Christ. What is the elements of sonship? Do we have an inheritance? And what is God's promise of restoration? Super exciting topics. And yet it's so basic, you know, what does it mean to be a son of God? And I was very challenged by that in the way that I grew up, because I thought God is this religious old man with a stick, with a, just like, God has got issues, man, and he needs to sort that out. You know, and as long as I'm in his good books, I'm fine. I'm going to heaven. As long as I attend church, you know, just do all this stuff that I need to do. But there was no real relationship. There was never conversations of really opening up my heart. I couldn't be real because the baggage I brought from my own relationship and my own relationships around me was like, hey, just like children should be seen, not be heard. And we're never going to talk about personal stuff. Everything is hidden away because, hey, we're a good people and we're nice people and everyone is Christian. And there's always like a pretense as to like you, yeah. And then the suspicion, the lies, and you grow up in a way that you don't know who you really are. And so tonight or today, we're going to specifically talk about that. We're going to talk about how do we connect with this God that is omniscient, that is all present, that is all knowing, is sufficient, is omnipotent. Wow, he's just, he's holy, he's faithful, he's wise, he's immutable, he's self-sufficient, he's merciful and compassionate, he's good. We saw all these things about God. And then the biggest revelation is that he is our father, and he's a good father. He's a good, good father. And so we ended off that session with the three tasks, the looking at different characteristics of God, what's your view of a father, but then especially what are the things that we're struggling in to see God as a good father? Is God really good? That's the question. A lot of people, unsaved people that do not know the Lord, unbelievers, they just like say, where's this good God in this whole equation? And it's valid questions people can ask, you know. And we looked at the idea of the Old Testament that God wasn't accessible. He wasn't approachable. And so a lot of people say like, yeah, but now how do I struggle? Because there's this Old Testament God and there's this New Testament God. How do I connect the two? And we must realize that everything in the old points to the new. So Jesus came to establish a new covenant, you know. Is there the wrath of God? Yes, there is. Is God angry with people? No, God is angry with sin. You know, because the modern day gospel says, no, God is this old man and he loves me. And you know, he will never judge. He will never. And that's why we need the holiness and the fear of God together in our lives. That's why God is our father, but he's not our buddy. You know, I had this one guy come to me and say like, yeah, you know, Jesus came to surf with me the other day. And I thought like, well, sure, did the waves come in? Did a tsunami hit the shore? You know, because the Lord is a bit bigger than just fitting himself onto your surfboard, you know. So we cannot be familiar with God, but yet we need to find that place. You know, it's almost like the son of a very well-known president. That son is going to know his place when the president is making a speech to the nation. But at home, the son is not going to say, hey, president, and call him president and make an appointment with him. At the home, he's going to be able to relate to that father, because primarily in the relationship part, it's a father. But he also has great respect for the position or the authority of the father. And so I think a lot of Christians struggle with that, you know. But that's why I said relationship and intimacy, that's what we need to go and look at. And this second session is about discovering the heart of God. And we need to ask, how did God feel about Jesus? You know, how was that relationship connected? Because maybe we can find some truths about that relationship. And out of that, realize that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, meaning that you and I are brothers of Christ and sisters of Christ. You know, and so we have part of this family. We saw in the first session that all the families of the earth, God wants to bless and wants to name them. He said that to Abraham already. He says, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God is a God of families. God is a God of relationship. He's not a God of performance. And, you know, I grew up in a place where it was all about performance. You know, if you do good, then you'll get a reward. If you perform and become better than others, I'll brag with you, you know. And so, but that's not God's heart. God wants you to know who you are, but you will never know who you are before you know who He is. And so let's go read some scriptures. The first one we find concerning God speaking directly to Jesus. And there was three times that God spoke audibly in the New Testament. And the first one was in Matthew 3:17. He says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved Son. I love you and I'm proud of you. That's basically what he said. I love you and I am pleased with you. This is just after Jesus got baptized. Now, he lived for 30 years. And the first time, you were only allowed to read scripture when you were 30 years old in the synagogue or in the temple. And so Jesus wrote a scripture in Luke 4 verse 18. We can say that he didn't write it. He pronounced it. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's healed me. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. He declared his ministry in Luke 4 verse 18. And he quoted out of Isaiah. And so 30 years old, he's not performed one miracle. He's not healed one person. He had no words of knowledge. He was just a carpenter. And now suddenly, before he did anything, this is very important. If you want to know the heart of the Father, it's about being and not about doing. What you do for God flows out of being a son of God. And we're going to deal with that in sessions to come because a lot of people get this wrong. You know, we first want to do a lot of things. And if we do good stuff, then God accepts us. But in Christ, the Lord accepts us. And that's why your identity comes because it's righteousness that God has given you. It's a gift He's given you. You cannot earn it. I cannot earn it. And that's why, in essence, we're not good. You know, when people ask Jesus, who's good and who's not good? He says, only my Father is good. Because God determines goodness. And you and I are not good. But when we do a self-righteousness type of thing with God, then what begins to happen is we think it's about my performance. It's about whether I'm better than others, you know? And then we become judgmental and we judge, but it's actually a wrong perception of God. And that's why righteousness is something, it's imputed, it's given, it's a gift from God. And this is what we see here with Jesus and the Father. And the Father says, I love you and I'm proud of you. You are my beloved Son. You're my special Son. That's what it says. He stops everything before Jesus goes to minister, heal the sick, go to the cross, do all these massive miracles that he did in 3 years' time. He says, you're my beloved Son, I'm well pleased with you. The second thing he talks about is destiny in Luke chapter 9, verse 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him, listen to him. Now what happened? Moses and Elijah appeared with the three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. So they were going up. Not everyone was there. Just three of the disciples with Jesus. And so Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets. So here they appear in the New Testament on the mountain. Jesus shines and now the Father says, this is my beloved Son. This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. He's got a message. He's got a purpose. He's got a calling. He's got a destiny. And why was Moses and Elijah there? Because the law and the prophets, everything in the Old Testament pointed towards God's revelation through Jesus. Listen to him. He is my ultimate revelation. And that's what we read in Hebrews 1 when it says God's final revelation. In the previous times, God spoke through prophets, but now God has spoken through his Son. So we must be careful. You know, a lot of people say like, God is going to do a new thing. God is going to do an amazing thing. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. God has given his final revelation to you and I, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we must go and study the scriptures and learn from how God, as a father, related to his own son, Jesus. You know, it's crazy and it's amazing because he so many times said to him, "You are my beloved son," you know. And so now the second question there is, how intimate did Jesus know the Father? Because we saw this relationship between Jesus and the Father of he often withdrew. He often went to pray. He often went to spend time with the Father. And so our life, our relationship with God comes from the source, from knowing the Father. Doesn't come from doing things, but actually spending time with him. And that's part of your greatest calling and part of my greatest calling and purpose is to become Christ-like, to get to spend time with the Lord. And that's so exciting. Matthew 6 verse 9, Jesus said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our Father in heaven. It was a concept the Jews didn't know. They knew the Pater God, the God that cares, the God up there, but not the Our Father. This was really strange. How do you pray Our Father? But remember, it's not my Father, it's Our Father. God is a God of family. So even when you pray, it's not just about you. It's about this godly family. It's about connecting with others. It's about the family, your spiritual family, and also your natural family that God has placed you in. Maybe your natural family is not a good example and you're not getting well. Maybe there's divorce and lots of stuff. Then we need healing through those processes. We need to go and say, "God, you are perfect." And yes, God is a church, which is his bride. Jesus' bride, and she's not perfect, but God is. And so John 10 says this in John 10 verse 15, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, in John 15 verse 19, John 5 verse 19, it says God, Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. And so that's so exciting because you realize like Jesus' action, Jesus, the way he related to people, the way he was with the tax collector, or the way people had accessibility to him. Remember the lady that just came in and washed his feet, you know, that alabaster jar of oil. She got that oil through prostituting, and yet Jesus accepted her. The lepers. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. But it is so important that you and I know that we can have accessibility to God. We have access to him through what Jesus has done. And so we see this intimate connection. The word know actually is the same word, Matthew 7 verse 21 and 22. You can go and read it. The Lord says, "Hey, don't tell me you've casted out demons and you've healed the sick and you've done all that stuff, but yet you do not know me." That word know is know, the word yada, which means intimate knowing, intimate connecting. Intimate connection with God. The same word when a husband and a wife comes together intimately, sexually, that's the same word God uses to know him. And so it's a scary place. It's a vulnerable place, but it's a place where you can be real. It's a place where you can be authentic, where you can say, "Lord, this is where my heart is." And yet many people are struggling in that intimate friendship relationship with God. And so we can go and learn that God was truly accessible and God promised us many things through Jesus. In John 14 verse 18, the promise of Jesus was, says, "I must go away, but I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." He said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. This is not just a battle on your own." In the context of the Holy Spirit that he would send, he says, the Holy Spirit is going to be your helper. The Holy Spirit is going to be your paracletos. And so we need to ask the Lord and we need to say, "God, unveil me." It's more, almost like an onion that you take and you have to take off the layers, you know, all the bad part on the outside before you can eat the stuff inside, you know. But I remember there was always this like lollipop that I would eat, but it was so hard, was so tough. And then when you got to the sugary part, you know, that it just like bursted in your mouth. As a young child, I was just like, "Oh, you know, we need to get to the inner part," but it was still hard. I was going to break my teeth, you know. That's almost the illustration or the picture, you know. Sometimes we have to break through the hardness and we have to say, "Look here, let me just change the perceptions and the lies, and I need to say, you, I'm not going to believe the father of lies," because you know what? The devil is also a father, but he's not your true father. He's not your perfect father. He's the father of lies. And as long as you and I believe those lies, we're going to be trapped in them because we're going to say like, "Your God is not acceptable," or, "No, do you know what? God loves that guy more than me because look at how he favors him." And then we have this suspicion, we have this stuff in our hearts because we believe the lies of the devil. And what does that father do? What does those lies actually give us a security? The lies actually, we begin to believe them and they become our friends. We say like, oh no, God has got favorites. Do you know what? God likes that pastor see us much more than me, because look how, and then it's, we judge everything on the outside, but God judges by the heart. So learn to be real. Learn to be authentic. And in the next couple of sessions, we're going to look at what is an orphan spirit and how do I break with the things in my past and how do I break with the lies that the devil brings so often. So Jesus made another promise. He said, peace I leave with you. Yeah, peace I leave with you. Now Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And in this relationship with God, we saw that it was never about the outside. His identity wasn't about what he did. It was who he was, what was happening here in his heart, and who God called him to be. You know, at a stage, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came running towards him and say, like, prove yourself. And then he said, well, I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. He says, you will not determine my identity and you will not determine my destiny. The devil even tried to tempt him to say, like, you know, get these stones to turn into bread, and then all of the Jews would have come out. They would have said, like, wow, look, this is the Messiah. He's the great guy, you know. So even the devil will tempt you to do stuff outside of this relationship with the Father, to do stuff in another way. Why? Because then you don't need a personal relationship with the Lord. You can just, like, be religious. And so the devil even quoted scripture. Huh? No, so be careful just to listen to the false preachers and the teachers. So what is this peace? Jesus said, I'm going to leave peace. It's the word shalom. Listen to this. It is, and it's there on your notes. It's a complete peace, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. Completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these, orchestra warming up, trying to find the tunes and the notes with each other, and they're just completely out of tune, you know? Like, now one of our children used to have started with a violin, you know, and it was amazing. We actually, when she was born, got a word that one day she'll play the violin, and I thought, like, there's no way, you know, because we're not musical. My wife or I, we're not really musical. And so just, I think when she was 6 years old, she just walked into the room and she said, well, she wants to play the violin. And that was amazing. We're almost like, whoa, this is crazy, you know, because nobody spoke to her about it. There's nobody she can relate to. And then we bought the violin. But when we got the violin, you know, for months, we even built in a door so that the music won't come through. You know, it was just crazy. Praise God, it doesn't sound like that anymore. But it's amazing, from receiving that promise to the breakthrough will sometimes take you a long time and a lot of practice. But you know, when you get into the peace of God, there's harmony. It's harmony with heaven. It's wholeness. It's completeness. It's the shalom peace. Not what the world gives. The world gives you an instant, quick happiness peace. You know, it gives you a peace that is derived from things on the outside. And it's actually just happiness. It's like, hey, because you are happy because you had a lot of things happening to you. And so, oh, I'm going on a great vacation or holiday. Now I'm happy. Oh, I've got a big salary check. Now I'm happy. I'm going to go shopping, you know, or, you know, retail therapy, like some of the people say. But that's never going to give you peace. The peace that Jesus promised is not an absence of trouble, but it's a peace in your heart. So even when things go very bad, like Paul and Silas in prison, they could worship, they could stand before God, because why? They had the peace of God, the wholeness. And so our desire through these next couple of weeks and what we've started here on this first day is not perfection, but wholeness. And there's a big difference, because perfection means I take control. I need to perform. I need to get everything right. And everything is about right and wrong. Wholeness is a state of being. Wholeness is a state of becoming, because I've surrendered. And that will be our challenge. Our challenge will be is Do I give up control? Is Jesus Lord of my life? Do I trust him? We saw that in the first session, because it's difficult to trust God. It's difficult to trust people. Do you know the average person, if you would ask them today, do you trust the government? Corrupt. Do you trust police? Do you trust the schools? Any institution, any place of authority, people don't naturally trust. They're just suspicious. Why? Because of hurt in our families and because of hurt in society. You know? But can we trust? Yes, we can. Can we walk in the fullness of God? Yes, we can. And so let's surrender to him. Let's open up our hearts and let's pursue this journey of wholeness with God, because there's Zoe life. There's a promise of life. So I'm going to pray for us. There's a second task that you need to do. We saw in the first session, task number one. Task number two, I'm going to quickly read through that. The first thing is give your definition of intimacy. The second thing is describe the areas where you lack God's peace at the moment, that shalom peace. Maybe there's stuff that's really bothering you. Then what are the three top things that you're struggling with to be intimate, real, authentic in your relationships with people around you? And then number four, how does your struggle with intimacy with people relate or reflect to your intimacy with God? These are quite personal questions, but as you write them down, let the Lord work in your heart. You know, I wish we could spend time just in the community to talk through some of this stuff. Where did the devil rob you from the peace of God? So I'm going to pray for that wholeness, that healthy, that harmony with God, harmony with heaven and harmony with the people around you. Where you create, where you can bring your part of the symphony orchestra and find your place in the identity and the purpose and the destiny that God has called for you. As he is your perfect father, as he is your loving father, and he's saying to you, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you and I'm well pleased with you. And we're going to find out what that means in the next session. So Father, I want to thank you that we can surrender. Lord, we control freaks when it comes to our emotions, when it comes to our hearts many times because we've been hurt. But Lord, thank you for your peace, the peace that Jesus promised of wholeness, of Lord, your grace and your mercy on us. Lord, as we surrender to you as being the perfect Father, come and share your heart with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's just look at those tasks again, those four tasks, and that you can do for homework. Lord bless you, and we'll see you next session.